Amen and amen. Welcome, 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 welcome this morning. Welcome. I hope you can hear me. Please, I'd like to have a response if you can hear me loud and clear. All right. All right, all right. Welcome this morning. Just want to share for about 30 minutes. All right, briefly here on the subject of dealing with crisis, dealing with disappointment, dealing with when things don't work out the way and manner in which you think and you feel that they should work out. Recently, I was watching a documentary, and I had watched it many years ago, but when all of these ENSAS movement emerged, and I went back to the documentary to watch about certain things. And this documentary, by and large, had to do with how, you know, the world was came out from certain places, and so what people began to see about the underlying nature of man at subconscious levels, and what they did in trying to reprogram that subconscious thoughts they felt were within humanity. But that's not what I want to go into today. But what I want to say is that when a group, a generation, an individual, or a family experiences disappointment, they go through major crisis, it is very important that there is a proper, knowledgeable response to the situation, or else it could have what people will term, all right, naturally, post-traumatic effect upon the souls of the people. instead of that thing being a bedrock or a foundation for the expression of new life, for massive positive things to come out, it could actually have a damaging effect on the consciousness of that person. Where am I bringing this from? Let me get my Bible here. Right. I was just charging it because the battery was low. So let's look at Proverbs, and this one I want to look at here. Proverbs and chapter 13. It says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." So hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it becomes a tree of life. Now, so what it says, when the hope and expectations of people are truncated, when they experience failure, their heart becomes sick. Now, something happens to the souls and something happens to the hearts of the people. Now, that whatever happens inside the heart should form a bedrock for massive success, because it says when the desire cometh, it becomes a tree of life. So from that place should come the fulfillment of the desires of people right within their hearts. In other words, from that particular place should come the fulfillment of the desires of people, and those desires should be fulfilled having had that experience. So I want to address this. What are we supposed to do? I mean, the scripture tells us very clearly. It says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and it tells us this, that let the lame foot be healed rather than being turned out of the way. It says this, verse Hebrews 12:13, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now, listen to what it says here. How are you going to get healed? It says, by making straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame or wounded be turned out of the way. It says, but let it rather, this is what it says here, be healed. So instead of getting turned out of the way, at that point you should make certain straight paths for your feet. It says this, right, so that you get healed. Now, what he's saying largely here is that if the wound in the souls of people are not properly handled and processed, if the disappointments within the hearts of people are not properly handled and processed, then that lame foot gets turned out of the way. Which means you can have a group of people, you can have an individual, you can have a generation of people that are completely turned out of the way, which means that their ideas concerning things becomes warped, their perspective or worldview is tampered with, the way they will see challenges, the way they look at things. I mean, at this point, people enter into what psychologists call learned helplessness. In other words, you have a sense of being powerless to change anything within your environment. And the reason is, you put your heart into something, you pushed for something, it failed. And so you get the feedback that you really don't have the capacity and power to really change anything, because the needle slightly moved, if it moves at all. Which means all you get is rhetoric and just some little, you know, adjustment, which amounts to nothing. So it can leave you with that sense of being powerless. It can leave you, all right, with making certain decisions that are just wrong. It can leave you with a worldview that is not right. And so it's very important. It's just like what you call first responders. Any medical doctor will tell you that if there's an accident, what the first responders do is very critical to the survivor and very critical, all right, to the whether or not there'll be total and full recovery. If the first responders handle the person right at the scene of the accident or whatever it happened, then they create a chance for, right, proper and complete healing. So it's very important that we speak into what is happening at this moment as first responders there to the consciousness of a generation. Okay? So the consciousness of a generation, and try to show from an eternal perspective what really might be going on and the way and manner in which circumstances like these eventually shape out if they are handled in a certain way. So here it talks about make straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lamed be turned out of the way. And God forbid that anybody out of this develops any resentment, hatred, or offense within their hearts towards anything. But learn the lessons that you're supposed to learn. And from the lessons that you learn and the knowledge that you acquire from this particular experience, you become more effective and understand how to bring about and cause the realization of things. So what then do we go to? He says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. He says, but when the desire comes, it becomes a tree of life. So how does that desire come? Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 14. I'm getting into some things here. Proverbs 24 and verse 14. And it says this, it says, or verse 13, my son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb because it is sweet to thy taste. And then it says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul, which means it will be sweet to your soul when thou hast found it. Now, what will be the resultant effect of this? It says, then there shall be a reward when you have found the knowledge of wisdom. It says, there shall be a reward and thy expectation shall not be cut off. So it speaks about the knowledge of wisdom. When you find it, there will be a reward. Now, first of all, hope deferred made the heart sick. The heart becomes sick and pained. The heart is sickened by the fact that because of the disappointment that you experienced. And there's that pain there. But it tells us, when the desire comes, there's total and complete healing and wholeness. Now, how does this desire come? It says, let the lame foot be healed rather than be turned out of the way by making straight paths for your feet. In other words, by understanding the right steps to take and the right approach. Make straight paths and let that lame foot be healed rather than being turned out of the way. So it says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to thy soul when you have found it. There will be a reward, and your expectation shall not be cut off. For wisdom, the Bible says, is profitable to direct. Now, this is one of the hardest lessons in life and the most difficult things to process. But those who process this, it's your matriculation, not just to spiritual maturity, but your matriculation, all right, to being an effective person on this earth. That every successful person on this earth, what happened to them was, instead of getting angry and bitter when things did not work their way, they humbled themselves and said, let us learn wisdom. This is the difference. That instead, in fact, God speaks, you know, I know this might not be very popular in our minds, but look at what God says here. He was speaking, it wasn't God that said it, but Elihu said this. He said, by reason, in Job chapter 35 verse 9, and was talking about how to pray. Now, I don't want this moment to be missed and to be lost. Now, I want to show something. It says, in Job chapter 35 verse 9, it says, by reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. In other words, you are crying out because of the arm of the mighty or the oppression. But God said this, but none saith that I hear the cry, but none saith, where is God my maker in all of this? Who giveth songs in the night? This is what God wants to hear. Who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven? In other words, nobody is saying that, where is God? Now they say, where is God to deliver us from the hand of oppression? But he says, that's not what you should ask. I need God to teach me so that he teaches me more than the beasts of the earth. He makes me wiser than the fowls of heaven. They cry, but none giveth answer because of the pride of evil men. In other words, God says they are crying, but don't answer that. Because the scripture says that we speak wisdom in 2 Corinthians, and it says this wisdom, let me read it out, all right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says we speak wisdom among the perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Now, listen to what it says. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians 2:6. All right? Nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory. Now, this is the wisdom we are speaking. It says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, so what brought about the change was there was wisdom that the princes of this world did not know. Had they known that wisdom, they would not have touched Jesus. Now, what caused the crucifixion of Jesus, which was the most, and you can see how downcast everybody was. They gave up everything. What made it be the platform for the resurrection of Jesus and power and all of that and multiplication? Because Jesus knew something that the prince of this world and demonic forces did not know. And this is what Job is saying, that God was saying here in Job, that there is no one I can hear that says, who will teach me? God, come and teach me. This is a teachable moment, not an anger moment. This is a moment to absorb wisdom, not to demonstrate hatred. This is a time where God should guide people's feet. Oh, yes, people say, well, we have, look, I have a document here sent to me just here now. Y Street protest hardly have worked in the history of humanity. I have it here. Why the Occupy Wall Street didn't change Wall Street. There was Occupy Wall Street. Everybody, it didn't change Wall Street. It didn't change the hedge fund managers. It did not change them. So there are deeper strategies in order to bring about reformations. And you can't, one can say, well, because I tried. No, there are deeper strategies. So he goes here and says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world, which none of the princes know they will not. But as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. For God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we're talking about the Holy Ghost at this particular moment. You were praying and saying, come and teach. How can this country be reformed? What is the actual way in order to go about it, not to throw in the towel and say that nothing can happen and go into what is called learned helplessness? What's the method? I said this last night at a prayer meeting. I said, listen, I mean, you may not agree. You have a choice there. But most successful man right now on cable television in America, I heard him say this almost 2 years ago. And it struck me. I mean, it just struck me. And somebody said something. He laughed. He said, look, most successful. In the most successful cable news station in America now, and when we talk about successful in terms of profitability of it and influence, and 1/4 of the revenue of that station comes through his own program, which is once every day for 1 hour. We're talking about a 24/7 news channel, and your program, which runs Monday to Friday for 1 hour, brings in 1/4 of the revenue. Why? Because all corporations know that this is the program with influence. We want to buy ad space here. So if ad space is selling on other programs at $30,000, let's just say $100,000 for 30 seconds, they sell his at $250,000. So he's generating revenue. Why? The man said, somebody was in a discussion with somebody and somebody said something. He laughed. He said, I have never learned anything. Really never really learned anything. Not read, not learned anything. Because the soul only imbibes truth in living power as it requires it. That's why the moment, you mustn't miss the moment. The moment where the soul needs it, the soul must be given right information, or else the enemy comes and brings in the wrong stuff. And then the lame foot gets turned out of the way, and people have a wrong belief system about it. And he said, I have never learned anything except through failure and humiliation. I know what he said when I was humiliated, which means it was almost like shame. But instead of, that's what he's saying here, reacting. You say, listen, this is a teachable moment. This is where I'm supposed to learn something. You might think there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof can be death and destruction. There's a way that might look right unto you, but the end thereof is destruction. And that's why the scripture says, and we'll get to it, I'll close with that scripture, in James 1, the manual for handling crisis. It says, be quick to hear and be very slow to speak. It says, be slow to wrath. Once you're taken over by anger, you've lost wisdom. If people are driven by hatred, you've lost wisdom. It says, for the anger of man never works out the plan of God. Never. Let me just give a date. There was a day back when GSM just started. You know, you buy a scratch card and then you scratch it. And there was once I scratched, bought a scratch card when years ago, and I was scratching. And then, you know, when you scratch, if you don't do it properly, you can affect the number. You're not supposed to use something, you know, back then, and you just go with it. And so I lost some numbers. And I was so upset. Why is all this? And I just took it and I think I just tore it and threw it somewhere. And later on, I was telling somebody, I look at the scratch card through. So the person said, no. If you look at the barcode, there are some numbers. If you use this, you'll be able to retrieve the actual numbers. But in anger, I had thrown the thing away. Now, what rubbish is it? I just threw it away. which means inside the real situation, there was a way to reverse it. So we're saying this here, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to thy soul when you have found it. There shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Now let me use another scripture here, all right, before I get to James 1, and I'll close with that. I don't want to be too long here. Just want to get the message across. Isaiah chapter 61. Now, Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach. And everybody that has brought real change, anybody that has brought, lent anything, brought to anything, whether organization, whether business, they lent it. When others got angry, they calmed down and said, listen, I think I'm smart, but I'm not as smart as the forces that are in this world. I think I'm sharp, but it seems like the environment is sharper than me. Right? So you settle down and ask yourself, what exactly are we going to do? Look, anybody that had real experience in life and had looked at trends could know that this is how this thing was going to go. Okay, now, but then what happens next is the most important thing, because it created a platform for something, the real stuff, to now begin. And the real stuff is not done in public. The real stuff is done in private. You will not have the opportunity for photographs. You will not have the opportunity, but deep thinking and strategic moves. Anybody knows in the game of power, the real players play behind the scenes. Just like they say, the muscle is visible, but the brain is hidden. The players are behind the scenes. Isaiah 61 here and verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind the brokenhearted. That's to heal people that are brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to them that are bound. So don't lose, because there is an energy that has been created in this country that is unprecedented. People have united in an unprecedented manner. And it's an energy that mustn't, it's an impressive energy that has been gathered. And I don't think God allowed it to happen, you know, just looking at it and say, well, you guys are going to, all right. But an unprecedented energy that should lead into something. So it says, the Spirit of Lord God is upon me, because God hath anointed me to preach tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted means those whose hearts are broken. And when you're brokenhearted, you're disappointed, you are betrayed. Something, you're just brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of prison to them that are bound. And the way you open prisons is by opening people's eyes. All right? To open the eyes of the blind. That's how you bring people out of prison. In other words, you simply, all right, Isaiah 42 verse 7 says, to open the blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness from the prison house. Prison house is learned helplessness, where you feel that you are trapped, where you feel there's nothing you can do to change your environment. There is, but your eyes have to be opened. This is a moment in this country. Your eyes have to be opened. And so it says this, he hath sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, which means you can be free. This nation can be changed. Opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. So beauty comes out of places where, you know, ashes. I mean, people talk about Lagos, this city. You write what I'm saying down. Write what I am saying down. Because Lagos destroyed, this city will bounce back, and 2 years from today, it will be much better. Organized and beautiful city. Because all it takes is calmness in leadership. None responds in anger. to learn the lessons, and out of it, beauty comes out of ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of, and they shall be called, in verse 4, they shall build the old wastes. Now, because their eyes were opened, beauty comes out of ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And they shall raise up former desolations and shall repair waste cities, the desolations of many generations. So they will repair the desolations of many generations. They will raise up former desolations. They will repair things that have happened in the past. They will raise up things in this nation. Like, oh, somebody says that, well, you know, we had used to have the fourth best hospital in the Commonwealth. They will raise that back up. Well, you know, they made mistakes in the 60s. They will repair the mistakes. They will build, they will repair, and they will raise. But how will that happen? Because an anointing came upon them when they were mourning. An anointing came upon them when there was ashes. The anointing there, it says, let the lame foot be healed. Healed them at that point. The anointing opened their eyes. James chapter 1. Verse 2. Now, this gives you the manual for crisis. And James and Peter, two massive apostles in the word of God, started their letters to show you the importance of crisis and adversity in the advancement of the cause of humanity and God on this earth. Peter started his letter by saying, blessed be God, when he was going to start 1 Peter, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth and will be reserved in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith. He started his letter in 1 Peter chapter 1 with how to handle crisis. James also, when he was going to speak, talked about, my brethren, this is what he wrote, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, how to handle crisis. Both of them, that's a discussion. How do you handle it? It says, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then he goes to this wisdom issue. Remember, I say, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to thy soul. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, if you don't know what just happened, if you don't know why it happened, if you are confused about it, he said, if you lack wisdom, let him go up unto God and get it. For so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to thy soul. When you have found it, there shall be a reward. And what's the reward? Thy expectation will not be cut off. So, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to men generously, without fault finding, and it shall be given him. It says, where is God my maker, who teacheth me to be wiser than the field, and to be, this is what, you see, Bible says, be angry, but sin not. And what does it says, sin not. Now, look at what he says here. Then he goes on. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted, but the rich in that he's made low for this. And then it talks about in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he says, he shall receive a crown of life. Then he says, do not err, verse 16, my beloved brethren, every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, which means from the Father who gives it in the form of light. Now, how does this light come? The scripture says God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, which means in the crisis is talking about God who commanded will shine forth, it will has shone in your heart, which means or shined in your heart there. It means God wants to give you light in darkness. That's where revelation comes, in darkness. That's what Peter said. He said, you have a much word of prophecy that you do well to take it as a light that comes on in a dark place. That's when you need wisdom, light. It says, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, which means God is not going to change his mind about what he has revealed. Of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures, which means this is how. So you're a Christian, is how you go about it. Wisdom. Teach me to be wiser than the systems. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, because of this wisdom issue, let every man therefore be swift to hear. What you should pay attention to is listening. What you should be looking for is wisdom. Be swift to hear. And be slow to speak. And be slow to anger. For the anger of man worketh not the righteousness or the plan of God. That's why it tells us in Hebrews 12, there it says, let your soul be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, that you might live. For this wisdom, it must be, it says, which means God is correcting something. All he needs is that correction, and that energy you saw on the street moves into the legal framework within this country for total transformation without a sound being heard. That energy goes within the legal framework without a sound being heard. People are changing and transforming this country. Nobody changes from the... let me leave that. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. In other words, when it says naughtiness, all this anger, all these things, lay it apart. And receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that is able to save your soul. So he gives us the manual here, which means this is a time to, which means God says, now I can begin. At this moment, the real education into the souls of men, for people have shown collectively that they want a significant and real change. All right? But then you go up to God in heaven and say, yes, we tried it. And this is how every successful thing emerges. And once you get that wisdom and you start putting that wisdom into practice, then the system knows that they've got it. Because there is a root, underlying root to power. And the kind of power you can use to influence people and change things in any nation. In a democratic system of government, there's a way in which it is done. And if what we saw on that street is deployed into that legal framework, now, it will be done quietly. They will transform and change this country. All right? But you can't go from this and then go to anger and say, no, it doesn't. That's the way it works. Greatest lessons you learn in life, you learn by, it's just that in Christianity, everybody says, you know, I'm led by the Spirit, and then we turn it into, I just hear the voice. And so nobody, but how you learn this? That's why the scripture says, I'm being made perfect. Jesus was made perfect. You grew into perfection. And being made perfect, he became an author of salvation, which means you test things And then the Holy Spirit says, pervert this way. Now, the cardinal mistake, which is where pride is to do something the way you think it should work. And it didn't work. And then you blame other things on the outside. James went on, that's why James was speaking so much about wisdom. James was the apostle here of wisdom. He went there in James chapter 3, he said, verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works, he said, with meekness of wisdom, which means the person will be meek, but those works, the person, you see the person simple, but the works that will be coming out because they got endued with knowledge. Now, where did they get this knowledge from? They got to that spot. While other people were angry, they said, look, it says, who is a wise man? What's he talking about? It's talking about the wisdom that came when you counted it all joy and then you asked for wisdom. He said, who is that wise man that got that knowledge? Proverbs 24:14 says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to thy soul when you have found it. So there is a way to transform this country. There is a way to get involved in this nation and bring about a transformation. There is a way to do it. When Pat Robertson was going to tell Christians to get involved and begin to participate he told them. This is what they said. They didn't even tell them to go for elective offices. They said, join the parties and make sure you are the delegates who are going to vote for the candidates when they are thrown up. And make sure the platforms, therefore, of those parties reflect. So it's not even trying to become something without even having the experience for it. But it says, go and become the delegates. So if they're having convention in Eagle Square, 1/4 of the people that will vote for the candidate are you. And you become a power block. They learned. Bishop Keith Butler told me, I said, what did you learn in American politics with your involvement? He said, we pushed everything. Pat Robertson pushed Jimmy Carter into power. Pat Robertson pushed Carter into power by using the network, not just because he was a Christian leader, but his father was a senator, and he used his father's network to get get Jimmy Carter into power because Jimmy Carter was born again. Jimmy Carter disappointed them. They gave him a list. Then they pushed George Bush into power. They didn't get anything. I asked him, I said, so what do you do? He said, we found out that the most influential position in government is who sees the executive leader, wherever is governor, wherever, who is the last man in the room when he goes to sleep, and who is the first person he sees in the morning. That's the position we want. Remember, he said, and that's not an elected position. He said, but that is the influential. I remember when Elijah prophesied. The Lord on whom the king leaned told the king what Elijah is saying is rubbish, and the king believed. He's leaning on somebody. Sometimes you never know who those people are. So wisdom, the Bible says, is profitable to direct. This is not a moment for anger. This is not a moment for even disappointment. This is a teachable moment inside this country. It's not a time to castigate. You know, I see people castigating people who are working inside different positions in government. When Elijah was saying that I'm the only prophet that has not bowed down, God told him, he said, listen, I have 7,000 people in that system that have not bowed down to Baal. That their hearts are still in the right place. So it's not a time for superiority. It's not a time for holier than thou attitude. It's a time for wisdom. And that's wisdom that comes from heaven into the souls of men. All right. And God teaches. He says this. He says, good conversation. He says, but if you have bitter envy and strife, glory not. He says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, But the wisdom which is from above. So there is a wisdom that comes from above. And that is the wisdom that people need at this particular point in time. I felt I should share this, all right, and get this out as first responders to this. I'm going to keep this on my page. You can tell your friends to come and watch it. But what is needed now? It's prayers there to God for wisdom, and then you act according to the wisdom. But it's a teachable moment. People fought June 12th. Go and ask the people that fought on June 12th and went to Yaba, went to other places, and bullets were flying. You ask them. Professionals, bankers, lawyers went on the streets. You ask them, they'll tell you the mistake we made. We fought June 12th. Democracy came back. And we said we finished our job and went back. And then the wrong folks took power. So they also have left. But the season has gone. But you people must understand that this particular season, all right, it's a teachable moment in the realm of the spirit. And it's a time to go up to God in prayer and to get God's wisdom and knowledge into your soul. That is profitable, and it teaches you deep secrets on this earth. What no man's eyes have seen, ears heard, heart conceived, he communicates it to you. And he says, this is the way to go about this particular thing that you're doing. Thank you for listening. God bless you. All right. All services tomorrow, please, will be online. We'll start 6:45 here on MixLR. I'll be coming up at 7 a.m. on Instagram and on Facebook. And then we'll also have our services that will run 8 a.m. and different times, I think 11 a.m. also how we do it online. All right. Thanks for watching. All right. Get as many of your friends to listen to this. This is so important in terms of responding correctly to the situation that is at hand right now. God bless you all.